Welcome. Glad you're here on this cold January morning. You guys are the brave ones, but welcome to those who are joining us online as well. My name is Paul Buckley. I'm lead pastor here, and it's my pleasure, my responsibility on most Sundays to bring God's Word. We are in the book of 1 Timothy. Most of our preaching is going through books of the Bible because we believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And therefore, we want all of it and all of God's intentions, even the parts that we might not like so much. Going through the books of the Bible forces us to address everything that's there. And our job is to understand it, and my job especially, to understand and apply it, help us apply it, and to believe and obey it. And God is gracious to help us with that. And ultimately, we look to Him in all these things. So we are in 1 Timothy, we're in chapter 3, and we spend a little extra time on the office of deacon. And I believe the Lord has been at work very much through this time, looking at this office, and I think raising awareness for all of us, just how important this office is in the life of the church, and to accomplish the goals of the letter of 1 Timothy, and really the goals for every church, to thrive in the understanding and application of the gospel in all of its life and mission. So I want to finish up fairly briefly last week's message because I didn't get the chance or the time to go through everything. And then we're going to start on the next section, will be verses 14 through 16. So let me pray for our time and then we'll look at 1 Timothy 3. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us and your word is life-giving. That it shapes us and rescues us and sanctifies us and empowers us and guides us and directs us and feeds our souls. Thank you for your word and thank you for this book of the Bible. I pray, Lord, would you come now as I teach and proclaim your word? Would you speak to us? We might hear from you and receive your life, turn from our sinful ways, our self-reliance, to trust you and to walk in your ways. We pray. I need your help so much, but I thank you that you're good and you love us, your people. And so we ask you to work in these ways and glorify your name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me read once again just the section on deacons here. Verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderous, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." I want to briefly just cover two aspects of the office of deacon, and if you didn't get a chance to be here for the other messages, two previous messages on deacons, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to those. But I want to talk about two aspects. One is the necessity of testing. Verse 10 talks about that. And then I want to look at the end of it, verse 13, the nice benefits of being a deacon. So first, the necessity of testing. Verse 10 says, "Let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless." So Paul is saying for deacons in this very important office, that is to help the church implement the ministries it needs for its life and mission, that those who would serve first must be tested. It actually says, "Let them also be tested first." It's likely that Paul is meaning that elders are to be tested first as well. Now, we don't have to just rely on that also in that paragraph to know that, because if you go down into chapter 5, Paul says, "Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure." He's saying to Timothy in chapter 5, don't be hasty to lay hands on someone, whether it's a deacon or an elder, really, is what he's implying there. Let them be tested first. Make sure. And then he'll go on in chapter 5 to say, the sins of some go before them, and others, if they follow behind them. And the implication is that you just need to have enough history to know somebody to see if they're really qualified. So this applies to elders and deacons. So Paul makes that explicitly clear in verse 10 here. That for a deacon, they are to serve in a deacon-like role And then once we see, wow, they actually are faithful and fruitful in this role, then they are put into the office itself. That's what he's talking about here. We are, as a church, our practice is to employ as many people as possible in helping to lead ministries. We want to come alongside you as you serve in ministries. For those who have a sense of call and some demonstration of that ability to lead in a deacon-like way, we want to get behind you and give you jobs to do. And we have a number of teams already in our church, a number of people serving in deacon-like roles already. Don't feel like, oh, I don't know if there's any place for me, because if you are interested, we will work with you to find something to do. Because of the life and mission of Christ here and through us and beyond us, there's always going to be more to do than we can do. So our goal, our orientation is we want to work with you. And so if you're feeling a sense of call and don't know where you fit in, please talk to us. And we want to deploy you and help you and grow you in this office, in this role, whether you serve in the office or not. And then as we watch God at work, we'd love to actually install you perhaps as a deacon or a deaconess. We talked about that last time, this related role of a deaconess for a woman. We already have three deacons, so two deacons and a deaconess currently. Who can name our deacons and our deaconess? Toby, you don't get to answer. Andrea? Close. Neil? You're close. You got. Sorry. Neil? No. Great. So you were close. Adam is serving, doing a great job, and I would love to see Adam in that role, but he's not yet officially deacon. So yeah. We could take care of this right now, maybe, but no. But Paul and Mitch are deacons, so Paul is our deacon of finance, and leading the finance team. Mitch is our deacon of music, leading the music team. And Heidi is our deaconess for children's ministry, so working to lead our children's ministry, an important ministry. And we trust that there'll be more deacons installed as others. There's a number of other teams and team leaders that are in our church, and each one, as we watch God work, we would love to make it official and understand, really, you're serving in this role. It's a deacon-like role. Well, so testing first, and then the nice benefits of deacons. Paul finishes with this verse that at first may seem strange. It says, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It seems a little bit like, is Paul saying that, like, if you serve as a deacon, then you really know that you're saved? You really know that you're safe in Jesus, right? So you get a good standing if you serve. But if you don't serve, you really don't know, right? You don't really know, do I really belong to Jesus or not? I guess I got to be a deacon to find that out. I don't feel very confident about my faith, but if I become a deacon, I'll have confidence. Is that what he's saying? Yeah, you're all shaking your heads, right? You're right. You know enough of Scripture. You know that doesn't fit, right, with the gospel of grace, this free gift of righteousness in Christ. Christ died on the cross, taking our sins upon himself. He became sin, so that in him, as we turn from our sin and trust him, as we belong to him through simple faith, simply turning away, trusting in him, we are connected to him in such a vital way that all of his righteousness is credited to us in our connection to him, in our union with him. And we know that. We know that it doesn't matter how much you feel, how strong you feel about how good you are, and even really how good you are if you are truly in Christ. We all are sinners, and we will be till we go to be with the Lord. And we're saved and we're safe by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone. So we know that's true. We can look at many other scriptures to see that. That's why you were shaking your head. So he must mean something else here, right? What is Paul saying? Well, I think if we look in around where we are, we can see the connection. Because he says earlier about an elder, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. To be an elder is to serve in a noble task. Paul wants to make that clear. He wants elders to understand that, or aspiring elders, this is a noble task. It's a sober task, but it's a noble task. Well, he's saying the same thing here with deacons, really. That when you serve as a deacon, you gain a good standing for yourself. In other words, you're serving in a noble task. And it's right for us to aspire to that task. And it's right for us to be respectful of those who serve in that task of being a deacon. That's the good standing. In other words, you have a deserved good reputation because you're serving in this important way. And in many of the ways that we maybe intuitively know we should respect pastors, deacons should be treated the same. Not because they're somehow more superior in righteousness. They might be. Some of them probably are, at least versus me. But it's because they're serving in this noble task. They're in this important office. And that's the standing that Paul means. That fits best with the context and the rest of Scripture. But then he says this, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. What's that about? What does he mean there? The confidence in the faith. Well, I mean, those words are what they say they are. Great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The faith being this idea of belonging to Jesus, the body of what we believe, being part of his people. So there's a confidence that comes. How does that work? Well, we can turn to Philemon, the letter of Philemon, and look at verse 6, and I think find a verse that's very helpful. Paul's talking to his friend Philemon, who might be a deacon, actually. And he says to Philemon, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective." He wants Philemon to share his faith. And in that it means sharing everything that he has in Jesus, right? Serving others with his gifts. Maybe sharing the gospel with those who don't yet know Jesus. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. What is he saying to Philemon? Philemon, I want you to give away your faith. I want you to share it. And as you give it away, actually, you're going to experience something that you would not have experienced necessarily if you hadn't given away. You're going to actually have a full knowledge of what you have. In other words, as you give away what you have, you're going to appreciate what it is more and more. And if you serve as a deacon, you're going to be giving yourself away. You're going to be pouring yourself out. It's hard. It's going to stretch you. You're going to feel like giving up at times. You're going to say, this is impossible. Why did God design it this way? Why can't things here work like they do at work? Or whatever it might be, you'll be stretched, you'll be pulled, and then you'll watch God work through you, a weak person. And then you'll watch God work in others, weak people, people who don't know Jesus yet, coming to miraculous faith, people who are struggling with sin, learning to overcome that in the gospel, people who are called to leadership, stepping up and maturing, and maybe leading a church plant. You'll see God at work. And know what will happen when you do that? There'll be a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul's meaning, as far as I understand. This is what's here and part of the nice benefits of being a deacon. Well, I'd love to talk more. And I would recommend, if you want to learn more here, is to read the book by Matt Smethurst on deacons, the best book I've seen. It's a mini book, short read. I think it will serve you well. Lots of great examples. I think there's examples among us already as well. But for the sake of time, I'm going to move on and start to look at verses 14 through 16.